and life were free.
Well, welcome back to Snacks and Jacks. That's Tim Howe. She's AV on the board. S&P futures up 28. NASDAQ futures up 150. Dow futures up 206. So we're... If we could just stay in this, hoping for stimulus forever, we'd all be rich. What do you think, Lou?
I think that this is going to be the test for universal basic income, right? So we're just gonna throw some money at people and see how they spend it.
We'll make up some money and we'll throw it at them. What that does to monetary theory? I got to find out where Milton Friedman is buried. I can only I only have to get close because I can probably hear him spinning in his grave if people still do that.
Well, that was the comment that somebody made that we would have a universal power source if we could hook Friedman and a few others up to a generator and just continue with this kind of outrageous public policy. Although maybe I'm hopeful that some cracks are starting to show in the what I consider to be the kind of universal support of the social activism in the corporate America. I saw that the Coinbase CEO, I think his name is Armstrong, came out publicly and said, "You know what? We're not in the business of social activism and political, political activity in the workplace. Our job is cryptocurrency, and we're going to focus on that. And if our employees want to go out and, do the social justice thing, that's great, but they could do it on their own time." A thoroughly unremarkable, in my opinion, view, but one that seems to be at odds with a lot of his CEO buddies in Silicon Valley and the tech world. But I'm hoping that this is a trend because, when you and I talked about Colin Kaepernick a couple of years ago, and I'm glad I'm sorry Maddie's not on the other line because we could get Maddie spinning too.
Easy to do these days.
We talked about Colin Kaepernick a couple of years ago. I mean, I made the comment that this is ridiculous. That if Mr. Kaepernick wants to do his social justice stuff, he can do it somewhere other than a football field. But apparently that viewpoint, which again I thought was unremarkable at that time, is now kind of the minority viewpoint. Maybe we're starting to see cracks in that wall.
Well, I think we probably are in some extent, but the question is, and this has been my complaint, bitch, you name it. Boy, I tell you what, Lou, lately, the difference between what you say and what you intend to say, or what you think you said, and what people heard in the last couple of weeks, boy, I tell you what, it's never been more bizarre on the show, the amount of tweets and the amount of everything else that we get. I'm firmly in the Trump supporter camp now, just because I try and tell the facts wherever they are. And if you defend anything of anybody, you all of a sudden you're in their camp. No, you're not. I feel like I'm not as smart, but I feel like Spock on Star Trek, where the one guy says, "Mr. Spock, you agree with me?" He goes, "I don't agree with you. I just said I understood you." Does anybody get the difference?
Well, I do, because that's how one of the ways I measure or I assess the judges that I've appeared in front of. The very best judges I've appeared in front of were not necessarily the ones who agreed with me, but they were typically the ones that, even though I didn't necessarily win in front of them, I always understood what they were doing. And what they were doing was, at least in my view, consistent with the law and with case precedent. So the idea that I don't necessarily agree with you, but I understand you, is a fundamental aspect or a fundamental requirement for any kind of reasonable discourse. The ability to say, okay, I understand your argument. And I, at least I think I do, and here's where you and I disagree, and here's why. You lose that. You lose that almost immediately when you start making these discussions moral issues. And this is why I think so much of the modern progressive movement looks more like a religion than it does like a political philosophy, because all of these issues that are being raised right now are raised in the context of a moral value or moral issue, so that if you tell me that you disagree with me, you're not just wrong logically, you're an evil person.
Right. Oh yeah.
And boy, once that rolls out, it becomes impossible to have a discussion.
Well, I also was regarding the debates. God, I don't want to go over those again. But why is anybody shocked? That's what goes on every single day, every hour of the day.
I know.
If you sit where I sit, and you get stuff from the left and the right all day long, that's all you hear. Nobody reads the other guy's article. They just, if somebody from the right comes out with something, somebody from the left says, well, what about this guy? Or what about Hillary? What about Biden? This goes on all day long.
Let me just say that my favorite description so far of the debate, and I understand what was happening. I think I understand what was happening. If you go back and look at the Rand Paul Joe Biden debates in 2012, you saw the same. You saw Mr. Biden engage in the same kind of conduct, and I think the president just said, "I'm not going to let you get away with that. I'm going to take this down. You know, you're going to act snarky and smart alecky and disrespectful. Well, watch this. I cannot disrespect you." But that, I think that's what was happening. But anyway, my favorite description of the debate is somebody who said, this is not a debate. It's a denial of service attack with a human moderator.
Yeah. Well, I mean, neither one of them is in charge. Neither one of them has a plan. And when we're seeing it on the stage, and there are a couple of grumpy old men. And that is the bottom line.
The funny thing is, I've only seen excerpts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I did about two-thirds.
I did go back and look at the transcript. If you read the transcript, the president comes across sounding more substantive. But all of that was lost. Like I said, it's a denial of service attack. All of that was lost in the noise of these two guys back and forth bickering. And I'm not in the winner loser assessment business, because the president plays at a persuasive level that is way below anything I understand. I don't know what, you know, Mr. Biden was doing other than just trying to defend his kid and, you know, saying some other things that I just thought were categorically wrong. But in any event, what you saw there was, I think, a debate or an argument pitched at the absolutely lowest common denominator, and Wallace, it should have been fired. I mean, I'm sorry. He was a terrible moderator.
You got to give the guy a button. If you don't give him a button, he's useless.
I think that's exactly right. I think there needs to be a cutoff, an ability for the moderator to cut off the argument and the discussion and the talking over, because it was readily apparent that neither one of those gentlemen was going to follow the rules.
So, you know, AV is sitting there with her finger right on the button right now for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you've wanted to.
If
AZ was not my compadre in speaking Russian, she probably would have cut me off a long time ago.
She's your best fan, for God's sake. You've turned her.
Yeah,
that's
I love
Michael.
I
mean, we're simpatico with that. And by the way, do you mind if I just AZ? Как вас зовут по-русски, пожалуйста?
Анжелика.
Анжелика, хорошо.
Да.
Спасибо.
пожалуйста.
So that answers that question.
The only person I ever wanted to use the button, if I would have had it, I would have used it on. Take a guess. You'll never guess. Of all the guests I've had.
Fari?
I don't know.
Good guess.
Fari.
Good guess. Well, okay, make that two people.
That didn't take her 2 seconds to come up with that name.
No. David Stockman.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He came on and he gave... First of all, the man's not human. He didn't have to take a breath. He gave a 15-minute stump speech about his book and his policies for his whole life. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Man, he keeps saying,
"Isn't it scary? Isn't it scary to think about somebody like that in a public policy meeting, sitting at the White House, and just going on to a monologue for like hours?" I actually worked for a guy like that. My first managing partner when I came to Chicago at my old firm would hold these staff meetings or group meetings where we would go in and it would be a monologue for an hour. No discussion about what are the rest of you doing, what's happening with certain cases, whatever. He would just talk for an hour. I think that's the only time I've actually thought I am working with a psychopath.
For those the listeners, and this is more than you ever want to know, but I'll keep it brief. When the way the electronics works on a show like this, and actually on radio, which I probably shouldn't get into because I give you a couple of tricks, but when Lou is on from his exterior, be it phone or whatever. When he's talking, and I start talking, he can't hear me, unless there's a pause in the action. Then he can. Where if he's in the studio, and he's talking, I can talk, and he knows I'm talking too, just like you're talking in conversation. So if somebody comes in with a monologue like David Stockman, and Maddie says to me, and you know, he can talk to my in the studio, he can talk to you in your ear, and you don't hear it as a listener. So if Maddie's on, we got to go to break. And I keep waiting for him to make a slight pause, like you have to take a breath like a normal human being, and there wasn't one. So then I kept trying to interrupt. Then Maddie says, "Quit interrupting, Chief." And I'm like, if I can't interrupt and he doesn't stop, how am I going to break you, idiot? Basically, right, Lou?
Let me just talk about a couple of other interesting aspects of the debate. It would not surprise me if... Mr. Biden had a wire or had an earpiece in.
Oh, that was all. I must have got 15 emails yesterday morning before the show even started that he was wearing a wire or had an earpiece.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case. If I'm the Trump people, and I'm sure somebody has thought about that because this is not a surprise. If he's wearing a wire, the thing you do is you set up a surveillance system that scans the RF, the radio frequency spectrum, and you look to see if there's a spike on there indicating that there's some kind of RF activity going down, and then you jam it.
Well, it could have been if he had a wire.
They haven't thought about that.
If he had a wire, who's the idiot who was telling me he should pay off the president of Brazil to not burn down the rainforest? What was that all about?
Chief, you're looking. With Mr. Biden, you are dealing, I think, with a guy whose circuit board, you know, has had something spilled on it.
Yeah, I think
you know what I mean. I mean there are little short circuits going on, I think, all the time. That's one of the reasons why his campaign shuts down at 8 or 9 in the morning, you know, on many days. Because the circuit board is not doing too well.
Well, our buddy Wayne mentioned that Wayne Madsen, not exactly your political side, but mentioned historically that a lot of many societies, you know, the history more than I do, have essentially elected a older, in times of, shall we say, stress and duress, have elected an older person to try and be a gatekeeper for a while, just to keep won't say people calm, but give things a chance to improve under them. And he mentioned like Conrad Adenauer and even an older Charles de Gaulle and something, but problem is Biden's not Charles de Gaulle or Adenauer, I don't think.
No. No, he's not. Mr. Biden's principal qualification for all of my Democratic friends is that he's not Mr. Trump. That's his qualification.
There's no doubt. I mean, and anybody who looks at the other side says that how the hell could this man be our president? I mean, that essentially is the election. It's Trump versus anybody who you wouldn't want for a dog catcher. I mean,
Trump versus the media, Trump versus any, you know. Yeah, I agree, but that's been, I don't think you can be a Biden supporter in the sense of, I want a thoughtful, aggressive, energetic president in there who's going to represent
me. Which makes me worry. I want to know who's behind him. It was interesting. We had a group last night. We stopped there for an adult beverage, and my gang was saying, you know, of course we're talking about the election, and they said it's going to be a landslide. And I said, no, it's not going to be a landslide. Don't even think that. Actually, I don't know if you've been listening to the show this week, but Jeff Joseph on Tuesday, who has, because he's involved, well, I'm not saying he's involved, like he's a mafia guy, he's very interested, and he participates, I think, sometimes an advisor and something else, to some of these gambling groups that are gambling on the election, both out of London and other places. Just really into a lot of this stuff. A real smart guy. He's a Luckbox magazine. Remember, I've read that thing. It's pretty serious. And he was saying it. The interesting part is they've pinned the number. What would you say the number of undecided voters are in terms of percentage right now? That was pretty close.
Oh, I think it's quite low.
Give me a number.
I think it's probably less than 3%.
You're a little too low. It was, well, according to London anyway, it's 7. But I was 5 to 10, so I was right in there. It might be as low as 3. Could very well be it. So we were talking last night, and I go, why do you think anybody would like vote for Trump? I said, I don't think people, well, there's some people that will vote for Trump. Everybody's just going to vote against. I said, right now, I can't, I mean, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I've worked for some people in the Democratic Party who I thought were terrific people. And none of those people exist there now. I mean, I feel absolutely like I have not left the party. They've booted me. They have absolutely no truck for a straight old white guy. He's the most liberal man on earth regarding other people. They want no part of me.
Agreed. I mean, somebody asked me here the other day. We were. And I again, it shows my age. I was having dinner with friends, and one of the other couples asked me how would I describe myself politically? And I said, I'm a Scoop Jackson Democrat. And you know, one of these people looked at me, because these are all people a little bit younger, and they said, well, what the heck is that? You're not a Democrat.
Yeah.
You're a Republican. And I said, well, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I would have been a Democrat. And that's just a measure of how far the party has moved. I don't think, I mean, the irony is that Donald Trump is not a conservative.
No.
And that's one of the reasons why you see the East Coast, I refer to them as the East Coast effete Republican groups, who have abandoned him. You know,
sure.
The Jonah Goldbergs and these other people at the David French's, the never Trumpers that were Republicans. They have abandoned him because he's not a conservative. He's something else. He one of the ironies, of course, and we've talked about this in the 2016 election, was the Republicans had a bench that was incredibly deep.
Right.
Smart, young, aggressive, thoughtful public policy experts who were running. Rubio, Cruz,
yes.
The guy from Wisconsin. All of these people were in, and they got swept aside by somebody who, until what, 2 years earlier, wasn't even a member of the party.
Right.
And so, you know, the idea that, well, it's a choice between, you know, really progressive com or a moderate and a conservative is ludicrous. That's not the choice.
No, absolutely not.
No, but the choice is between a guy who appears to be fronting for some, in my opinion, really dangerous elements, and this critical race theory that they were talking about during the debate is something I'd like to discuss briefly this morning, who's fronting for some really dangerous elements, versus a guy who is I think basically unmanageable in terms of his expressions, but who is a chaos guy, but who, from a public policy perspective, has done a lot of most of the stuff that he's done, I agree with wholeheartedly.
I'd say that if he just would shut up.
Oh yeah.
I mean, well, you know, that was somewhat interesting. I'll say this real quick, and then because I want to talk about this. This thing in California, and not from the reparations thing they signed, not from a policy standpoint, not from a policy standpoint, just from a somewhat of a
board, or do you want to talk about the board diversity requirements that Newsom signed yesterday?
Well, I mean, that's sort of the whole thing. But the thing about the Trump stuff is I was listening to as you know, I'm fascinated with. Now the economic policies of the 20s in the Weimar Republic and the similarities to what we're doing now. And I'm also fascinated by, out of that whole mess, how did Hitler get to where he got? And so, of course, I spot this thing on YouTube. And this had to be, these guys were doing the talking, they got to be all dead. So, but it was a tape from how many years ago, and they had these three German historians. You know, German historians are... They are German. They know their stuff, and they're sitting on there. And the moderator kept saying, "Well, how did a guy who was obviously this deranged and came from nowhere? How did he become? How did the people put up with him?" And one guy finally says, "What do you mean put up with him?" And the guy says, "Yeah, put up with him." He said, "For the first 5 or 6 years, maybe 7, if somebody would have knocked him off, he would have gone down as the greatest ruler in the 20th century. He took a country that was in absolute chaos with probably 25 parties. You couldn't walk down the street without getting mugged. And in 7 years or in 5 years, the military was back on his feet. The place was safe. Everything was running on time. The train, not Mussolini, but the difference was night and day. If before he had a chance, because he was already starting with the Jewish stuff and the, you know, you couldn't, if you're a Jewish doctor, he was already start. But economically and everything else, he goes, the German people, they, compared to what they went through in the 20s, this was heaven. If they would have bumped this guy off in 1938, said he would have gone down he got them out of their recession way faster than Roosevelt did here. Not even close. I mean, I'm not a fan. I mean, everybody knows I'm not a fan of the man, but Don't ever think for a second that people that have these kinds of skills. But I wouldn't listen to Jose Canseco for a second about how to trade options or the stuff we know, Lou. But when the man talked about steroids, my ears would go his way, like E.F. Hutton, right? Because everybody has their skill set, no matter what it is. And to think that people
so the with Hitler.
Well, save that for a break, but we gotta go. S&P futures up 32, NASDAQ futures up 150. Looks like we're putting a whip to it again today. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks. Although yesterday was way up. We actually were down a couple times during the day in the futures, which were really crazy. We'll be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Thanks, Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. She's AV. On the board, we have Mr. Lou Michaels with us, as we do every Thursday morning. SP Futures up 32, as the Futures up 153. Is, I think if we could just, for the next 5 years, if we could just say, we're working on a stimulus bill, don't worry, it's coming soon, the market could be, we put the S&P to, I don't know, 20,000 or something, we'll all be rich. All you have to do is own one share or something, you'll be rich. It'll all just work out, I think. This is what we're doing. Anyway, one stock that is moving this morning is BBBY, Best Buy, one of the retail ones. These are really hard to play. I was going to do something here yesterday, and I just said, you know, this is a little too expensive. I'm not going to do anything. But anyway, it's up 10% this morning. Trade up $1.60 to $16.50. So whatever the numbers were, they weren't as bad as people thought they were supposed to be. Anyway, Dow up 228. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei unchanged. Wow. Shanghai down 6, call that flat. Hang Seng up 183.8%. They have not been with us really almost any day now the last, you know, last while. Over in Europe, we've got, well, just as a review of yesterday, Dow Jones is up 329, S&P up 27, NASDAQ up 82. So even though yesterday we were up 50 at one point in the spoos, we were down, we were back up, we were almost down on the close, then we popped up 15 points on the future. So really a crazy day. Yet another crazy day. DAX up 39.3%, FTSE up 43.7, CAC around up 41.8. Bonds, actually made a move up in the rate today a little bit, 0.70. Bund minus 0.50, and the Japan hugging that flat line, positive 0.009. Gold down 66 cents, 39.56. Brent down 60 cents, 41.70. Natural gas up 3, 256. Gold up 750, 1903, back over 1900. Silver up 24 cents, 2374. The copper is down a penny to 301, but still over 3. A little bit of bounce back in the metals yesterday. AV, what do you got in force traffic? Weather, sports, forget the baseball. I'll do the baseball. I know you could care less about the baseball.
Good morning, friends. It is unusually chilly and dark outside. Hopefully, we'll get some sunshine in the morning.
AP, if the sun doesn't come up, we got a problem.
I know. It's always a problem.
Yes.
Well, no, I'm joking. And, well, followed by increasing clouds in the afternoon, the temperature will remain about 56 at the highest and the lowest 44. Beautiful in Phoenix as always, sunshine and clear throughout the day. The highest is 106 degrees Fahrenheit and the lowest 72. Traffic is a mess between Joliet and New Lenox on I-80 with the crashes both directions. Westbound is seeing the worst of it with a solid jam from I-355 to US 30. Eastbound is heavy from Richards to past Briggs, avoided by using US 30 instead. And just a quick review before Chiefs review.
God.
Cubs lost to Marlins 1-5 and White Sox lost to Athletics 3-5.
Lou, would you say that AV's rendition of the weather is like the female version of the hippy-dippy weatherman?
No. I actually enjoy listening to Angelica's accent, and so she can read the weather all day as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you know, I'm like a quick entertainment for listeners. Like
3 minutes. We refer to it in the business, I believe, as comedy relief. But it's quite entertaining.
At least she doesn't refer to you and I as moose and squirrel, you know. Anyway, the playoffs yesterday. Lou, is your team ever going to win a playoff game? They're 0-18 now, the Twinkies.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, they got a good team.
I don't understand. I don't understand it. Much like I don't understand why the Cubs got beat either, because
Lou, did you ever watch NCIS? Anyway, the Cubs are 1-1 with the Marlins. Sox are 1-1. The teams that are out are the Twinkies are out. They got beat by the Astros. They're out 2-0. The Blue Jays are out. They got beat by the Tampa Bay Rays 2-0. And the Yankees took care of the Tribe. They're out. So three teams are eliminated. And obviously more to come today. So what were you saying, Lou? Fire up.
The Cubs are so up and down and so inconsistent. I just wanted to get hot for a while and make a run. The Denver sports teams, with the exception of maybe the Nuggets, the Denver sports teams are just not really worth watching. And I'm a football guy. The Broncos are atrocious and have been for some time. And I get the Bears when I watch them. I cringe every time I see the football snapped. Although Foles may give you guys some hope, but there's just not a lot of sports I enjoy watching anymore. And I keep hoping that I'm going to see a baseball team that I actually root for go forward, and it's just not happening.
The Cubs, Manny and I will go. I blame Manny and the stats guys. They've got the idea that this OPS, that somehow or another some geek in Oakland started this thing because he made a movie, made a lot of money, so he's doing better than I am.
What does that stand for?
Your on-base percentage plus your slugging.
Okay, that's it. Plus slugging, got it.
Yeah, but the main thing is your on base thing. Is it? They don't. The thing is, they don't care if you hit 300. If you hit 200 and get a walk when you're supposed to have gotten a hit, and it adds up to 300. You know what, Lou?
Oh, sure, understand.
Such BS. The man, because if you can only hit 200, at some point the good pitchers are going to stop walking here. Because why do they have to walk you if you can't hit? Right?
I mean,
I know that. Everybody thinks, when I give these analogies, that I'm an idiot. But you know what? I may be an idiot, but not for the analogies. I pitched softball for 40 years, Lou. And you know what? I'm going to say that a good softball pitcher, your percentage of people that you walk better be going up with the guy's batting average, or else you're a moron, right?
Yes.
The guy who's the number one hitter on the other team, and if he doesn't hit, they don't win. That's the guy you junk. And if you walk him, so what? The last thing you want to do is walk their schmuck, right? I mean,
exactly.
I mean, the Cubs are batting as a team like 210. Lou, my Thursday morning early math, that's 5 hits a game. You don't beat anybody with 5 hits a game. You better average 8 or 9 a game, because you'll be a bunch of couple, and you'll score. That's how you win in the major leagues. You don't win with 5. Once in a while, you know, they'll walk a guy or a guy, and it'll be an error, and it'll be somebody on in one of your schmucks because they got some power, hit a grand slam, and you're a win. But it doesn't mean that you're doing any good. You're not. Yesterday, when Kyle Hendricks went out to the mound, look at the guy's face. I mean, he's a really good pitcher and a really good guy. He knew if he didn't pitch a shutout, he had no chance. He shut him out through the sixth. They got a 3-run homer off him in the seventh, which, you know, it should have made it, you know, if your team is any good, you should already have 3 or 4 by then.
And exactly.
As soon as they had the 3, he walked off the field. He felt like he was ready to walk home. He had the chance of the Cubs coming back and scored, you know, four runs to win was like nothing. I mean, it was zero. They got nobody. These guys swing at the ball. They can't even foul it off. Anyway, I'm going to do a Paul Harvey here real quick, Lou. And I'm going to do without getting into the specifics of, you know, the reparations thing. For those who don't know, the governor of Newsom just signed in a thing about paying reparations to essentially descendants of slaves, I believe.
They've started a study group on it as to how to do it.
I'm going to just give a real brief, and Lou, you'll kick me if I'm wrong, because you're probably the only person in the world that knows, well, not in the world, but listening this morning knows more about this than me, only because I had people in the family that were involved in it. And anyway, I'm going to talk about the GI Bill. And the GI Bill was in some ways, was probably the
same. Still is, by the way.
Right, probably, well, yeah, okay, but in those days...
Its newest variant is fantastic, in my opinion.
Well, I'm saying, but in those days, it was the single biggest ever, I'm going to say, to this day, way to take people from lower and middle classes and move them up. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, people came back from World War II, the bill essentially said is returning veterans, really any veterans, you didn't have to go overseas, were given a college education essentially for free. I don't know how many years you had to go do it, or I don't know the details, but bottom line, of course, the education was not very much money in those days. So my stepfather went to DePaul, and he got an accounting degree. Smart guy. Now, he was only in, I don't even know how long he was in, Lou. He had to be one of the youngest guys that could even have been in, well, could have been legitimately in the war, because he was 17, and some people got in when they were 16. But he went to Navigator School in Arizona or someplace. His basic training in Florida. And he was going to be shipped out like 2 days after the second A-bomb. To somewhere to start bombing Japan, and when all of a sudden the peace thing came through, and he never went. So I don't know if they let him out. Like, I mean, he's not around. I can't ask him. I don't know if
they typically held people for, you know, 6 to 8 months after the war was over. They didn't discharge everybody all at once.
But I mean, I don't think he ever spent 2 years. Is what I'm saying, it probably was a year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he goes to DePaul, and my uncles. On my mother's side, big, huge dudes, Italian guys, one of my uncles went to, and I don't know how this worked, Lou, he was in Hawaii, in Honolulu, and I think he was in ship repair, he was a welder, what the hell he was. Now he was not the Seabees, like the movie with John Wayne. I think he was with a private company. He was never in the service, but he was still in Honolulu, still working on the base. Now, you know, who knows? I'm guessing he made a few more bucks than the military people. I don't know. I mean, he's not around to ask me either. But now the GI Bill comes down. All right. So, and my uncles always gave my stepfather, of course, they were kidders anyway. They always gave him a bunch of crap about the college boy, right? And it was always a little bit of an edge to it, Lou. Not horrible, but after many cocktails, you know, edges can get bigger. But didn't matter. My uncles were not anybody you would ever trifle with. So, but basically, my one uncle was a welder and a tool and die maker. And no tool and die maker were they going to go get killed in the war, right? With all the stuff going on here. So he was a 4H, 4 something something. He couldn't go. And it was this massive fight between the people who were making munitions for the world, really, which won the war, and the people who were fighting the war, right? They never got to the 4 million man army. They got to, like, what, 2.5? Because the people here saying, okay, take all the people in my plant. Don't tell me when I'm not delivering you your tanks, right? It was the argument. So there was this constant fight. Don't forget, this all happened over 3.5 years. The war was fought, and half the time it's taken to redo the burn interchange, Lou. I mean, right? I mean,
right.
I mean,
yep.
It's pretty scary stuff. So anyway, they come through with this bill. So here it is years later, and my stepfather is vice president of Texize, and my uncle's still a tool and die maker. So there's some edge, right? Not a whole lot, because we're all in this together. But also, the people who didn't, people who were not included, none of the women, even if you were a nurse overseas the whole way, none of the women were included, right? Not a one. I don't think any of the civilian contracting people that were overseas were included. So it's a question is, who's included, who isn't? And now when you sit down, it's one thing to expound to your voters, I'm going to give people a bunch of money. Okay, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's for people to have green grass, for people who were slaves, for people this and the other thing. I'm not disparaging slavery. It's an awful thing. But at some point, Lou, you sit there and go, okay, let me get this straight. A lot of people got brought here from Africa that didn't want to be here. Of course, they probably didn't want to be in Africa because they were captured over there in the first place to be sold over here at the beginning. But so they were sold by people in Africa, but they're here. And, of course, slavery, I can't imagine really much things worse. Although life in that time for just about anybody wasn't exactly a box of chocolates.
You can make a case that as horrible as our slavery situation was here, being a slave in Africa, which is what they were because they'd been captured or whatever, being a slave in Africa was probably far worse.
Oh, but it means, I'm going to say working in a coal mine was probably worse on a day-to-day, but I'm not going to go there. The fact is, being a slave is awful. Now, here, we fight this war. People fight this war to free the slaves, which is basically what it was, because the people in the South didn't want to let go, and they attacked, they won their own. And how many people from the North never even saw a slave, didn't even know what the hell they were, well, I guess you knew what a slave was, and had no truck whatsoever with people from Mississippi and what they're doing on a plantation, all of a sudden lost lives and limbs fighting these people to free the slaves. Now, are we going to include in the slave reparations?
Oh, yes, an offset. I absolutely agree. If you want to talk reparations, okay, I want an offset for the Civil War. I want an offset for the Great Society programs. Yeah, I absolutely want offsets for that.
Oh, I'm not talking about the money. I'm talking about if Great Grandpa Howe, which of course was in Ireland, he wasn't there, you know, got slaughtered at Gettysburg. I want a piece too. I never got the, you know, we came back with one leg and one arm. I mean, come on, that entire century should be written off for everybody.
No, I think if you want to talk about reparations, I want to talk about, okay, if we're going to reduce citizenship to a monetary value, then, you know, being an American citizen to a monetary value, then I want an offset for the expenditures that, I mean, you're going to make it a race issue. I want an offset for the cost that white society has paid to black society for efforts to try to ameliorate the effects of slavery.
Well, I mean, this is what I was talking yesterday, Lou, and I was dying to get you
out today. The other issue that you raised, by the way, is this. You're talking about who's going to get it. How do we determine who is black? I mean, we are headed rapidly back to the days of, you know, of slavery and miseducation.
Absolutely.
And racial purity, all of that.
Without a doubt.
And I don't see how, we are going to make South Africa look enlightened. You know,
when I was in high school.
If we're not careful here.
When I was in high school, I was on the Southwest side, which was about as racist as you could get in a lot of ways. And it wasn't personally racist, it was economically racist. I don't know if anybody knows the difference between that. I mean, if you saw a black person, it wasn't like you didn't like them. You just didn't want them in your neighborhood because you had this kind of dumb historical feeling that the old neighborhood where your parents used to live was a terrific place, and now it's inhabited by black people, and guess what? It's a crummy place, and the houses are a lot less than they were, and your parents took a $5,000 hit on their house because blacks moved into the neighborhood. Okay, you know, you forget all the part about the what they used to call it, blockbusting and all the stuff that the white
people redlining,
redlining and all. So I mean, but the fact is, it was an economic sort of a thing more than. You didn't, it wasn't like you wouldn't go play ball with a black guy or anything like that. Or at least I, but then I went to school where the brothers were all from the East Coast. And my parents lived in a black neighborhood. So I was totally different from the rest of this group because my early friends were all black. And the brothers at Marist, they essentially look forward to a world and what they taught us, and I was one that listened, to where when we got to 2020, where we are now, the world would be colorblind. It wouldn't matter what anybody, what color
we
were. We would follow
Dr. King's
dream. Yes, exactly.
Dream.
Exactly.
I dream of a world where people are not looked at by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I heard that in freshman year, for God's sake, Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going exactly the opposite. I don't get it. I mean, isn't that what we want now? I mean, we should be there by now.
This is the essence of critical race theory. When Donald Trump says we're not going to allow this kind of stuff to be taught as part of racial sensitivity training, which is the idiotic euphemism that Chris Wallace used for it, this is the essence of critical race theory, that we don't ignore race. No, we take race into account because what we have to do is make adjustments to our culture and our system, our meritocracy, so that our end result is we favor African Americans, we favor black citizens, we favor certain minorities. Critical race theory, its end result is hyper racism. It's a consideration of race in every single thing. It's the exact opposite of all the things that you and I were taught, and it
well,
is the
becoming,
exact antithesis
it's becoming,
to almost all of our civil rights laws.
But it's becoming so selective. You almost have to have political power to be a minority. Well, not almost. You absolutely do. I don't understand how, and this has nothing to do with the government. This has nothing to do with. It has to do with people who basically. Remember the cartoon where the guy's walking away, goes, "I need a new agent. I'm getting screwed." The Irish people came over, the Polish people. You lived in Chicago. These companies where people worked. My group from Italy, the original Cavellis that came over. They all lived to 90, for God's sake, or 88 or something. Nobody had, there wasn't a speck of cancer in the group. Every one of them had one or two kids died of cancer before the age of 40. Every one of them. And they worked in, some plant, they did something. If you had to pay reparations, what would you give the Asians that have been here since the, I'm going to say anybody who came in 100 years ago from Asia, from China, has some uncle, great uncle, somebody who died blowing up tunnels in the mountains and building the railroad. What do they get? If they found a body in the spring, that was good. The family didn't get a check if they even knew who the family was or cared. I mean, it was a horrible time for. I mean, if we start talking about everybody in my family that died from cancer, probably because they worked in the. My aunt died cancer. My dad had cancer. They lived two blocks from the stockyards, for God's sake. You couldn't breathe over there. You can't tell me there's not a connection. I mean, if we start talking about people that got screwed 150 years ago, my God, the list is. I mean, how long is it?
Well, I mean, we can go with the Indians, the Native Americans.
Yeah, let's start there.
I mean, yeah. I would say we start there, and let's start with that. I can make a better case for reparations for Native American peoples that I can for African American.
Well, but the thing of it is, the people doing this, it's one of the greatest lines I ever learned on the trading floor, and I'm sure it didn't start there, was OPS disease. Oh, no, I'm sorry, OPM disease. You know what that is?
Other people's money.
Other people's money. Now, the people that are there trying to pull the Christopher Columbus statue down. You know, whatever. Christopher Columbus, I'm saying, was probably a bad guy. I'm sure they all stunk. They never took a bath. We wouldn't have a beer with them. You know, the whole nine yards. But the... Okay, let's see. Lou, you're here trying to tear the statue down. And we agree that these guys got... I don't even know the... Well, one of the tribes was the Chicago tribe, right? Is that how they named the place? Okay, so I think looking back on this map that we found, they had a teepee right on Lou's old West Side Happy Suburbia house. Okay, anybody with a house in Napertucky or Glen Allen or any place, we think that the way we're going to do reparations, because, by the way, I live in Indiana, which I don't, I'm not part of this. We think we should assess every homeowner in the western suburbs $40,000 a house and send it to the descendants of Indians. All of a sudden now...
By the way, they're not far from this in Canada, just so you know.
Okay, but my point is nobody wants to cough up. It's always somebody else that's coughing up, right? I mean, nobody actually wants... I mean, if I could prove that there was a teepee on Lou's old house's property, it's, oh, geez, Lou, you screwed these people right and left, even though all you did was buy the house. This guy's owned $100,000. By the way, where's the guy? Well, we don't know. But somebody will come up somewhere and say that they're a descendant, whether they are or whether they aren't. We're just going to hand them a check of yours for $100,000. You go, I'm not so sure I'm happy with that deal, especially not if it's my $100,000. I mean, how do we have a company, a country, every friggin' state is broke, maybe a couple aren't, every city, and the federal government is absolutely broke, and everybody still thinks there's this massive money out there for them to get a piece of. Well, what movie are they watching, Lou? It's a different one than me.
I think this all revolves around the whole issue of money and power.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And you will say anything, whatever idiotic idea you have, you will say it if you think it's going to give you more power. And that's a huge aspect of critical race theory. And the idea that this gives us power to be able to say, look, you're all racist, or look, you owe us money. Well, go back to those two elements. That's what's driving this train. But the idea that we somehow reach back through multi-generations to try to make amends for, historical misconduct, I mean, that inquiry never ends if you start engaging in that. I mean, because everybody has something in their past that involved somebody being mistreated and or getting some horrific deal. And I get that. But the idea that we have to extract payment from modern culture for something that happened, 20 generations ago makes no sense to me whatsoever. But if we get to that point, then if we're going to do an accounting and we're going to base it on race, then I want set offs for offsets for, the money that was spent on behalf of that of those people and the effort that were made on behalf of whoever that selected group is, because that's fair, right? If you're going to reduce this to a monetary thing. But the other question I have is, if we're into the idea that if you could identify as a certain race, then you are that race, how many people are going to identify as African-American in California?
Oh, well, you know what, Lou? You know what we should do? Just what I was mentioning earlier about the GI Bill. If your grandmother came back from being in the... What were the ladies' groups called? I know the Wrens were the...
The Wrens were the Royal Navy.
Yeah,
The WAX were Women's Army Corps, and the Waves were Women's Auxiliary for the Navy.
So why don't those people get to sue?
The WAX were the Army Air Corps, Women's Army Air Corps.
So why don't those people get to sue and say we all paid for our own tuition, we want the money back?
Yeah, there was a push for that for a while. If something like reparations kicks in, if you want a historical example of how money distorts people's behavior, you gotta go back and look at what happened when death benefits were put in place for service members. It was a precursor to the GI insurance. But when death benefits were put in place for service members and guys got killed in the Second World War, you got to go back and look at the historical record as to how many, quote, divorces, unquote, were suddenly annulled or repealed or challenged when the guy got killed. It's stunning. I did some research on this when I was a military attorney, and you read these accounts of women surfacing with their new husbands, with their actual, at the time, husbands, saying, oh, I got a divorce in Mexico, or I got a divorce in Nevada, or the divorce that I had really wasn't fully executed.
I never
so
signed
I'm
it.
I'm really married to this guy, and I'm entitled to his death benefit.
Was it a lot of dough, or it doesn't have to be a lot of dough?
It was $10,000.
That's real.
In 1940, whatever, that was a fair amount of money.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, a house was what, two?
I don't know, but I mean, it was, I think it was 10. Anyway, it was enough money that literally thousands of these women came forward. As I said, many of them remarried who said, oh, yeah, just ignore the fact that I've got a husband sitting with me here. Ignore that fact.
I just say,
I was never officially divorced.
I've never been married. I'm not, you know, so you can't say that you wouldn't do what your wife tells you to do, but that's a trip I probably wouldn't make with her. Just saying.
Yeah.
If I'm the second guy. Who are you? Well, I'm the second husband. What? Anyway.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Lou, thank you very much. But SP Futures up 32, NASDAQ Futures up 156. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You could reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for
for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, don't play stocks and jocks. I'm Tom Hausch. He's AV on the board. SP Futures up 31. NASDAQ Futures up 157. Trying to do 2 days to the up day. Well, yesterday, there were a couple times during the day when we were actually down on the futures. Very strange. So you get the feeling that there's a rumor, a murmur, whisper in the wind flying around Washington that all of a sudden you didn't get, and all of a sudden we bounce back the other way. Mr. Dan Janitas from Kratos Capital. Dan, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. How are you?
All right. Whenever I want to put my finger in the dike and say, okay, I'm going to calm down and find out all what's going on in the market in a calm manner, I listen to you on Thursday morning.
Excellent.
So, what do you got?
There's definitely a good tone to the market, and there has been the last few days. And I think it's great that the market will continue to move on regardless of the debate the other night. So it seems that the main focus again is on the vaccine and getting treatment for COVID, and I think that's what the market is looking to. And it's certainly looking to something by the first quarter of next year. So I think that, whether we're, everyone in the country has the vaccine by then, probably not, but at least I think there's a lot of hope going into the new year. And then also stimulus. I mean, talks that have started to come back again and that we may have some sort of a plan here in the near future. So I think that's helping keep some buoyancy in the market. And of course, we still have the liquidity from the Fed's injections earlier this year. And I think right or wrong, investors and market participants are seeing the Fed as will continue to support the market and continue to support adding liquidity to the economy. So we're in pretty good shape right now.
God, from your lips to God's ear. I so wish I had the same attitude as you did. It would make it a lot easier to go through the day, I'll tell you, buddy. I should have gone to a different school. I went to the wrong place. There's no doubt about that. I mean, this fight between, will paper money win out against, I mean, how many people are supposed to get laid off this week? 200,000? Airlines and Allstate Insurance is laying off 3,000 people in Chicago, for God's sake. And how many airline people? I mean, I surely hope that you are correct that either some sanity regarding dealing with the virus or a vaccine is there. I talked to three people in the last 4 days that were, don't worry, we're going to have this vaccine, everything will be okay. Are you going to take it? Hell no. Okay. That's the next fight, right? I mean,
right, but I think there's, I think it provides hope to a lot of people, and I think also being in an election year, historically we've had good markets, and for good reason. I think that, we have an administration right now that has a lot of pressure to do the right things to keep the market going here, the market is, I'm in the investment business because I didn't want to go into politics. Yeah. I don't really want much to do with politics, but in the investment business, I think if we can ignore the noise, or we can at least not listen to the noise, we have to know what's going on. We have to understand the drumbeat, but we have to be able to look longer term. And I think that's where the markets are right now. And there's a good tone. I don't know that this is going to change. I do think we're going to have increased volatility, until we get past the election. But after that, I think there's going to be a sigh of relief, and I think into the next year we're going to see, we're going to see a little more steadiness in the market, and hopefully this positive trend continues.
I guess want to get into more of the individual stuff, and because we might have some work for you actually, because somebody asked me, hey, do you know anybody who does fixed income stuff for like a lot of money? And I know just the guy. I mean, anywho.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the market looked like, I used the Italian scatta last week, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, after two horrible days, you get two people that I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them, Pelosi or Mnuchin, come out and say, oh, don't worry, we're working on a new plan. We're going to throw $2 trillion at you. We're going to turn the printer back on. And we've been straight up since then. And I'm sitting there going, okay, is this real or is it Memorex, you know, like the commercial used to say. I mean, it's real if you're short, obviously, and it's real if you're long. I mean, no doubt about that. As an investor, you want to be long. The thing I do, the protected program on Thursday, Dan, our market looked horrible. And the guys who are working for me, they said, Chief, we need to adjust these things. We're getting way, you know, way in the money on this stuff, and we're way out. Our calls are like bazillion miles out of the money. Do you want to roll them down? The market looks like crap. And I said, you know what? The beauty of what we do is we take our own opinion out of it, and we just make our adjustments as they come.
Exactly.
So let's do what we're supposed to do. You know, 90% of the time, 80% of the time, that ends up being a pretty good trade. There's going to come a day when it just keeps going down or keeps going up, and we'll just deal with it when we have to deal with it. So we didn't go crazy to the upside, but we made our routine adjustments. We were short like, you know, calls $12 out of the money. We rolled them down like $6 or something. And, so now they're back in the money where they never would have been before. But I do that and I act like you say, but I also am very aware that, this is like, I don't know if it's a family show, but this is like meeting the new girl, and you're always going to look good as you keep trying until it finally happens. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's at one point here.
Right.
I mean, if we could just be working on a stimulus plan, are we good for 30 spook points until you and I both croak or what? I mean, at some point it becomes bizarre world.
And it is. I mean, there's no question about it, but I do think that there has to be not paying attention to the day-to-day noise. And looking forward and a stimulus, you know, if we do get a stimulus package, certainly I think there's going to be, a pop in the market. There'll be continued support. I would say that a lot of this is built into the market, but I think there are still some areas of opportunity. And
yes,
with the volatility that we've seen in the market recently, this is a time for opportunity. So for the investors who are looking at the market every day and want to see some upside, there's definitely some opportunity. Now, going back to last week, high yield bond spreads widened out, pretty quickly, and we used that as an opportunity to buy. And one of the names that I've talked about in the past is Southwestern Energy. They have a bond that's a 4/10 that matures in March of 2022, so it's a little less than a year and a half, and we were able to buy some at 5%. Those have quickly tightened, but at one point I was, you know, a number of weeks ago or a month ago or so, I was saying that they're a good buy at 6, and then they tightened to 4, and even inside of 4, we were able to buy some and they widened out to 5. So I still think if you can buy those below par, which would be below a dollar price of 100, they're money good bonds. This is a company that's cash flow driven, regardless of the industry they're in. They're in the LNG, the liquefied natural gas industry, but they're very cash flow, very bondholder friendly. So I see this as a good steady buy if you're just looking for, you want to sit on some yield, you're looking for a yield alternative. You can buy them under par right now.
Yeah. Do you?
But
two questions.
So buying opportunistically right now, I think makes sense.
Two questions.
You've got to be on top of it every day because as you're saying, this turns around very quickly.
When you look at something and it's 4%, right, and all of a sudden it's 5, which means the price dropped, I'm sure most of the listeners, and you say, okay, that's right now, that's a pretty friggin' good number, right? So you buy it, and now, obviously, people have listened to you. You guys, you would not characterize yourself as, quote, traders or day traders for sure. You're looking to put people in for at least some period of time, and that's your investment group that I can see. But all of a sudden, you catch one, and the next day it's 4, or 2 days later, and now it's at a price where a week ago you ran the show and say, I want it at 4. Do you just, you know, sell it out and say thank you very much, or is it And are they liquid enough for you to do that and just say, yeah. somebody going to call you and say, hey, you guys said you weren't, I mean, markets like this, I've done some stuff. We've done some things, you know, for the 5 or 6 months, say for in some of the metals. I still think I want to be long there. It looks like there's a liquidator around now, but if it goes up in 2 days, you sit there to yourself, what am I doing? I wouldn't buy it here. I mean, my intention was not to show my clients I'm trading their stuff every 2 days. That's not the intention. Clearly, it wouldn't be with a bond, and yet it's moving so fast. How do you avoid doing that? Or you just say it's a winner, just thank it and say thank you. I mean, what else can you do?
So on the bond side, especially on the high yield bond side, for the accounts which are looking for yield, I may not have liked it at inside of 4, like less than 4%, but I still owned it. So okay. We were just adding to our position at 5. Okay. Now, on the equity side, it's a little different. When we see something sell off, you know, one name that I've been watching that I think is a great buy right now is Charles River Associates. It's a management consulting firm, and again, it's not in the sexy tech industry. It's a management consulting business based in Boston. Fantastic management team. They're voted as like best place to work amongst their consultants and their analysts, and they're very hard to get into if you're in that industry. They have top talent, and their business and a lot of their business is litigation consulting, it's forensic consulting, it's life sciences consulting. They have a diversified business, a very diversified group of clients, mostly Fortune 500. And then they also have a lot of law firms as clients. And the law firms got hit for a little while until they figured out how to do virtual. I mean, we never skipped a beat. But law firms actually, there was a lag, and business had slowed down a little bit. It's picked up again, and they figured out how to do everything virtually now.
Well,
virtually, everything virtually, if you will.
Well, but why do you say
this is a business where the stock was trading at 58 prior to March, and now it's trading at 37. Yet their earnings, they had really good earnings, they've had really good revenues, and they've had a good quarter this past quarter. So this is how we look at value. We like the name long term. I wouldn't be buying it in the 50s, but I'd certainly be buying it at 37. So when everything else seems to be trading at these inflated valuations, here's a name that has a pretty good, you know, it's pretty liquid, good size organization, stable organization, very diversified business line, and strong management. I'd be, you know, we're buying it at 37.
Wow.
So there's a, you know, this is what we would do in this environment. Now, I wouldn't necessarily, I'd probably sell it if it gets back up in the 50s, but it's a longer term holding. So we do our homework on the names. MasTec is another name that I've mentioned in the past. That's a good, solid company, strong management. So what we do is we hold on to the position. We generally add when it drops significantly, when they've continued to perform well, but yet the stock price isn't in line with their performance.
Dan, what's the state of when you said some of the law firms have come back? I mean, in Chicago, a lot of my friends are lawyers, and they're doing virtual this and virtual that, and I guess you can get your will written up, but there hasn't been a trial in Chicago since March. I mean,
they're starting to do virtual trials. I think you guys are a little behind there, but there are, yeah. I mean, it's on the, not so much on the criminal side. I'm not sure how things are operating, but on the civil side, there's quite a bit going on now. They're able to do depositions, and they're able to actually do trials virtually. So, and it's actually sped up the process. So that's been a help. There was a lag, like I said, unlike our industry, which we didn't skip a beat. But I think lawyers had to get up to speed on doing everything virtually, because a lot of their work is in courtrooms and all that. There are a lot of places, you know, in the country, I know that are still, you know, courts are still open, and, you know, in certain states. I know in Georgia they are. It's like nothing change. So,
well,
I think in terms of the civil work, which is what this business, Charles River, that their client base is involved in, that work, I think they've figured it out. So things are going to I think their business will incrementally come back.
I've had a couple of guys tell me about that. They've done arbitrage. They said it's absolutely horrible because just talking to your client is another Zoom room, and it's a. But you also, but they said there hasn't been a jury trial, and it won't be for another year probably.
Yeah, and that's something right. Yeah. So with an issue like that, but I think again when we're talking more of the type of work Charles River does, it's not necessarily, we're not necessarily talking about jury cases. We're talking more about a lot of cases that end up getting settled. And again, it's a profession that really we've adapted to this over the years. We've adapted to doing virtual meetings. We've had this long before COVID. So I think in the legal field, it hasn't been as common.
Dan, could you it sounds to me like with the Southwest Energy, going back here a little bit, there was a time when I had a lot of clients that were wanting to trade these LNG and some of the rest of them, especially during the Obama administration when they were pouring money at these things a little bit. They've been, embarrassingly, I have to say, it's been kind of off the front page for me. Last I left it is they were moving towards individual ships that actually could hook up to a natural gas regular line, and the compression would be done on the ship, and the decompression would be done when it got someplace overseas. Because obviously the hang-up was you needed to have this big spot where your ship would show up, the gas would show up, it would liquefy it there, put it on the ship, head off, and then you wouldn't find many places in the world that were able to decompress it other than, like, blowing it up. What is the state of all that now? Is that all to the point where are these companies actually, has the exports gone up dramatically like everybody thought they would or not? I have no idea.
They've gone up. I mean, I don't know about dramatically, but they definitely have gone up, and there's been a fair amount of demand. I think again, this being a product that isn't as carbon driven as oil, for example, or crude, there's been more demand. The company Southwestern is an E&P company, exploration and production, and they're a driller. And they're a driller predominantly, most of their properties are in the Appalachian area. So that's where they make their money. And in terms of the distribution and the transportation of it, those would be other companies.
Okay.
So I'm not as up on what's going on with the transportation and distribution side of that. But I will say that it has definitely picked up, over the past several years. So it's a good industry to be in. I would not buy the stock.
Well, because being
I would not buy the stock.
A political question I shouldn't ask, but isn't that one of the long-term ways we the U.S. is attempting to lower the Central Europe's dependence on Russia by being able to export natural gas? Correct.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. What? How about your other places? The places that we're doing the hurricane. The place in Florida does a lot of the cleanup work and stuff. Those guys, they got to be doing really well.
Yeah.
What's the symbol? They're
doing well, right? They're doing well. MasTec MTZ.
MTZ.
They do, they do infrastructure rebuilding after disasters. But their big businesses, their two big businesses, are maintenance of cell towers, which is going to just continue to do well, and then also maintenance of pipelines. And we don't have any shortage of either.
Right.
And we're going to have expansion, especially in the cell tower side. So they're a very well-managed company. And, again, they're one of our core stable businesses. They tend to trade with the expectation of, a strong economy. But they don't necessarily – they shouldn't necessarily. I mean, you have to watch this one. But you can buy it on dips. Again, I think it's a strong buy in the low 40s. If you can get it less than 40, all the better. But it's a good, it's a survivor. And again, it's in an industry that is, it's sort of not on everyone's radar screen right now. So we like it. Yeah, that would be a name that I'd recommend. One other thing that we were talking earlier about that I think is worth mentioning, we were talking about the metals. And with the volatility in the market, although, going back to your point about us being long-term investors, we definitely are when it comes to bonds. We certainly are when it comes to a couple of the names I just mentioned, like Charles River and MasTec. But we will trade ETFs, and where we see volatility and opportunity. And I've done very well in silver over the years, and silver was down 3.5%. It's already up 2.5% today. So we will do that trade where we're buying on dips. We're not necessarily selling immediately, but we're, you know, we know that there's going to be a rebound just because we've really gotten to know the trading pattern of silver. So I had years ago I was buying it at 14, it rode to 46, and we were selling in the 40s. So this is a name that you can make money on, just like you can with most ETFs if you follow them close enough. And again, the plan isn't to necessarily be in and out day to day, but when you see a major sell-off, and these major sell-offs, by the way, are also happening with some of the microcap names that we're in. So if you see a 7 or 8 percentage point decline in a day, that's usually a buy signal if you like the company and there's nothing that's changed fundamentally. So we will move positions. We will add to positions when things sell. And then likewise, when things are up 10%, and we had that case with a couple of our names earlier this week, we might lighten up.
Dan, we have when you look at the gold and silver, obviously they're somewhat different animals. And
yes,
I'll put it this way. Well, gold, if you look at it, is pretty much a precious metal. Copper, a total industrial metal. Most people, at least here in Chicago, put silver somewhere in the 60-40, 60 precious, 40 yes, industrial.
Great.
Are you somewhat surprised? I have been, seeing as you know, because you left to listen to my dribble regarding it, I'm a big currency guy and a monetarist guy. So when I see them doing this with the dollar the last really 8 years, and I was long this stuff way too early. I'm usually right, but I'm also usually way early. And all of a sudden, I still am somewhat confounded by the fact that this stuff isn't a lot higher. I mean, we're talking about a 40% rise in money supply this year. Your finger closer to the metal on this. I think there's a liquidator at some point. The rumors I hear from some of my listeners are that it's India or somebody that's been kind of a liquidator all along because they need the dough. Are you sensing anything like that? I mean, they all should be higher and they're not.
I absolutely agree. And in fact, we were in early as well. And we're glad we were in early. I mean, not too early, but we were in early enough so that we were buying at, 13. And so we had a nice run. There does seem to be something going on with, there seems to be, I don't know if I want to call it a cap, but it seems to be that somebody, we had a pretty, the sell-off recently was pretty substantial, and there wasn't anything specific that was tied to the way silver generally trades. So there are absolutely more players in the market than there were, during the last peak, when it traded into the 40s. And that can take, it can take markets in either direction. So whether it's India or whether there are other players out there, I don't know specifically. I think the direction is still going to be positive with silver. I still think there's room to go.
Dan, just getting used to the
pattern of trading over time. That's
Dan, we only have 30 seconds, but I want to ask you, because I have a feeling your ear is closer to the ground on this one than mine. A year or two ago, I've always been talking a lot about the dollar-denominated debt coming out of China that isn't really part of what you normally count as the part that went through the, the normal, change the dollar to yuan to blah, blah, blah. And that all that money, all that debt seemed to be kind of wobbly a few years ago or 18 months ago, and now I haven't heard boo about whether that's getting worse, getting better, and China looks to me like they're sort of getting worse in a lot of ways. Maybe next week, I have a feeling you know more about this than me. Are there any issues there that anybody should know about?
That would be a market I would stay away from because may be issues there that we're not aware of, but I'm certainly happy to talk about it more on the next show.
Right, I need to talk to you before the next show about other stuff, good stuff. Hey, thank you very much, buddy. You put up with my monetarist drivel when you're probably more straight on this stuff than I am. I'm more of a worrier, I guess. What can I say? But anyway, you always steer me straight. So thank you, and we'll talk.
Sounds good.
SP Futures up 28.
Thank you.
NASDAQ Futures up 147. Come back at Mr. Frank Fahey. We'll talk a little bit about the baseball.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Out. She is AV on the board. S&P futures up 27. NASDAQ futures up 146. Individual stocks. One of the ones that's up. We got BBBY now up 242. Wow, 1740. But good news out of a retailer, which probably means the news wasn't as bad as people thought it was going to be. But still, that's a positive thing. That's not bad at all. We have the Dow futures up 211 as well. We got the NASDAQ futures, like I said, up 143. And the S&P's up 27. They were up as much as like 35. So we're to the plus here, no doubt about that. Renasia Nikkei unchanged. Unchanged. Wow. Shanghai down 6.2%. Hang Seng up 183.7%. Just as a way of review, yesterday Dow was up 329, S&P up 27, NASDAQ up 82, but careful with it, because we're up and down all over the place. We had a few 50-point moves darn near yesterday, 45. The market was up, but you got a very unstable. Any hint that these talks might be off or something, and we just go flying right back down. Now, we're up quite a bit from the announcement that they were back in talks on Thursday morning, so I suspect if you've been long for those 3 days, I mean, if I was in a couple spots we are, we're going to be lightening up a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying sell here. I never give any investment advice. I'm just saying that this was up on an announcement out of Washington, and things changed pretty rapidly out of Washington. Let's just leave it at that. DAX up 80 cents, call that flat. FTSE up 13.2%. CAC ran up 33.7%, so very quiet in Europe. Bonds. 10-year now up 3 basis points to 0.71. Its side has been, it's out of the 60s for the first time in a few weeks at least. One minus 0.50. And Japan positive 0.009. Oil up down 71 cents, under 40, 39.51. Brent down 68 cents, 41.62. Natural gas up 3 cents, 2.56. RBOB down a penny, 1.17. Gold is up $17 down to 1912. Big move. Silver up 51 cents. Copper down 3 cents. Just as everybody knows, not to be doggy downer here, today's the day the airlines have threatened to lay off like 30,000 people if the Fed doesn't come up with money. Talk about, I won't say, what's the word? You're trying to get money out of people like that? It's extortion. We also had the cruise companies that were officially Center Disease Control could start today. They notified him yesterday. Maybe not so. Actually, they could start next week or whatever. Now it's to the end of the year, so let's hope they just don't have the ships filled with food and people, because that would really suck. AB, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports. I'll do the baseball.
Good morning. Unusually chilly weather this morning, but seems like it's getting better. We've got some sun mixed with clouds, which will be followed by increase in clouds, with showers developing this afternoon and later at night. Unseasonably chilly weather is expected through the weekend, but there will be transition back towards warmer temperatures next week. That's a good news. Beautiful in Phoenix is always sunshine and clear throughout the day. 106 is highest of the day and 72 is the lowest. Traffic is a mess between Joliet and New Lenox on I-80 with crashes both directions. Westbound is seeing the worst of it with a solid jam on I-355 to US 30. Eastbound is heavy from Richards to Pass Bridge. Avoid it by using US 30 instead. Chief?
Three teams are out of the playoffs. That would be the Twinkies yet again, 0-18 in the last 18 playoff games. That is remarkable. They are out. We have the Blue Jays are out, kicked out by the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And we have the, I guess they're just Rays now. They're not Devil Rays. You can't say Devil anymore. The Yankees kicked out the Tribe. Cleveland is out 0-2. The Yankees are in. Everybody else is 1-1 or 1-0 along the way. Would you say that, Frank, that AV's view of the world is somewhat solar-centric? When the sun's up, she feels much better?
Perhaps. But I wouldn't deign to say what any woman's view of the world is unless invited to by the woman.
Well, she's being from the Ukraine and not from, like, northern Germany or someplace. I wouldn't think she was into such, you know, Norse kind of mythology where, you know, the solstice is your big day and so forth, that thought that was a German thing. You being part German should be able to tell me that.
Well, it's also Celtic. Stonehenge is based on the solstices.
Maybe in a previous life.
Maybe in a previous life, yeah.
She might have been a druid priestess.
Yeah, she might have been a druid priestess or something.
No, but like my philosophy is at least if there's sunshine, there's, you know, something to be happy about, not to concentrate on like. But
I understand. I'm a green plant myself.
Oh God!
So I do best with the sun.
I don't. It doesn't really bother me. I didn't care if I went skiing. It was cloudy or sunny or whatever. It's okay.
And it's vitamin D.
Well, vitamin D. That's
good. It's a vitamin of happiness.
Yeah. Maybe. Or at least a vitamin where your teeth don't fall out, you know. If you don't have vitamin D, your teeth fall out. Just saying. Right, Frank? I mean, you know. You're a guy.
Practicing medicine again, I see, Tom.
Well, I think that's somewhat the truth. But anyway, one thing's for sure. If you don't have vitamin D, if you get COVID, you're in worse shape. That I've read in about 100 different things. It doesn't. Pounding yourself with vitamin C doesn't prevent COVID, but if you get it, and you're vitamin D deficient, generally you have a rougher time with it. Is that a fair statement, Frank?
Yes, I've read that. But it was in the People's Pharmacy in the Tribune. No, I'm kidding. Yes, I have read that.
So, I mean,
the cruise ships are an interesting thing.
Yeah, I mean,
the CDC said they weren't going to allowed to sail until February. And the White House said, just recently, October 1st, because they are afraid the impact of not having the ships sail would have on the Florida economy and the Florida vote. So this is not even about health. It's about the election once again.
Frank, everything, this is one the one debate I have ongoing. Out of all the debates I have with my people that come on the show and guests and so forth, this is the one big debate when people say stuff like follow the science or follow the law or follow something. If you have never, you have, so I'm not accusing you of anything, but if you've ever run your own business or been in a place where you have to make decisions for a whole bunch of people, the idea is that, if you look at, Jean-Luc Picard on the Enterprise, and they asked the one kid, what would Jean-Luc Picard do? And he said, very easy, he'd ask everybody's opinion, and he'd make his decision, right? And this mm-hmm. idea that we've come in this world where you're supposed to follow this guy. If you're in a room of people and you're talking about a drug going out there, and or whatever it is, and you're trying to help something, you're trying to solve a problem, you talk to your scientists and you say, okay, what's the worst that could happen? What do you think's going to happen? And you get these decisions. And their job is to tell you all the bad crap, right, and the good crap. Then you talk to your lawyer, and he's going to say, well, we might get sued. Okay, we might fall off a turnip truck, too. What's the likelihood of us getting sued? If we do get sued, are they going to win? I mean, are we wrong? Well, no, we're not wrong. Okay, well, how much is it going to cost to prove we're right? You go through all this stuff, and then your job is, and that's why you're supposed to be making the big bucks, like the people we have, we don't know why they're making the big bucks. Then you make the call. That's what you're supposed to do. But you don't walk out of there.
And the call, Tom, the call had been made. It was reversed.
But I'm saying the idea that these guys were supposed to be starting this week and all of a sudden aren't. It's the same thing as the restaurants in New York and the same thing the restaurants in California.
No, they were supposed to go until the end of February, and the administration changed it last week to this week. And now it's been moved to the end of October because people raised a stink last week.
But why not, if you want to be 100% safe and you listen to the scientists, there'll never be another cruise, Frank. Never.
Well, I'm not planning on going on a cruise anyway.
Well, I'm not either.
I mean, look at all the, even before coronavirus, there's that other, what is the other one, Novavirus? Or,
I would,
I don't know. Those are, I mean.
Hey, one cruise I would go on is, can you imagine, AV, if I went on this cruise with Frank, the two of us? He went on the Eastern. He must have paid a fortune for his strength, Frank. He started in, Italy someplace. And they went to Sicily. They went to Greece. They went to Istanbul.
On a small boat, right?
No. It was not one of those new monsters, but it was a cruise ship that 30 years ago would have looked big, but now looks like a dinghy compared to these new guys. No, it was a real boat. And but then they went to Egypt, and the lady in the Board of Trade, there's still who knows if she's still her travel agent, booked him with side trips. They did private tours with a guard in Istanbul. They went to see the pyramids and all that stuff in Egypt. I'd love to do that. I mean, that wouldn't be my idea of a cruise. That would be the cruise just where you slept. I mean, they were everywhere. They went to Israel, Dead Sea. I mean, that I'd do.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
How would I explain Frank to these foreigners, AV?
Hey, I rode a motorcycle from Austria to Istanbul.
Like I said, how would I explain?
I don't need a boat. I
would imagine you were, what was it, Jimmy Rogers, investment biker? Did you ever hear that guy?
You mean the singing guy?
No, he's still around. He's about 100 years old. He went around the world in the motorcycle with the, he was like a 35-40-year-old professor someplace, and he went around the world with one of his female students, and her parents were outraged. She's like a head taller than him, and they went everywhere. They got to Russia, where they ended up having to pay some guy to put because you would think in U.S., if you want to go from a town to a town, there's a road, right? It might be a crummy one, but there's a road. Russia, that's not necessarily the case. There's just the train. So they had to pay somebody to be able to put their bikes in a tent on a flat car. To get from, but anyway, he's a character. I mean, he's still on TV once in a while, but He did that. I could see you doing something like that with one of your students 4 years younger than you. Just saying.
I'm more a solo guy. No, but I wrote it all the way to Kathmandu.
As my Italian relatives once told me, he travels fastest who travels alone. All right, what's going on with the market?
Isn't that the truth?
What's going on?
So, no, my Indians lost 10-9. I'm an American League fan and hate the Yankees. That was quite a game last night.
Yeah, they came back and they didn't quite do it, but I was surprised. I thought when the first guy, the best, well, he's arguably the best pitcher in baseball, lost the first night, they had trouble.
Right.
What's his name?
Bieber?
Yeah. He couldn't get the ball over on the curveball. And the Yankees, if they saw a fastball, they were swinging at it. They didn't care where it was. They finally got one. They were going to do something with it. Whereas our Cubs can't hit the broadside of a barn. Sox almost came back. Sox have life. They almost came back and won that game yesterday.
Yeah, we had the bases loaded with the Abreu up. I mean, how much more can you ask for?
Plus, he hit the ball hard. He just hit it at somebody. I mean, it wasn't like he whiffed by a foot and a half. So that guy, he always puts, he's tough. He always puts a bat on the ball when he needs to. I think he's MVP material this year, I think.
Yeah, I think he is too. Anderson really cooled off. I thought that perhaps he was going to get it. We'll wait and see who the MVP is. This afternoon. The game's on at 1 Central Time.
Who they got on the bump?
Pardon me?
Who's pitching?
I have no idea. I never heard that term before. Who do you have on the bump?
What do you
I
mean?
Like it.
It's been an old hawk term forever. On the bump.
Hawk, a man that's dangerous to listen to in the best of times.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely. Hey, We just ran. I don't know if you listen with Dan Janitas, who's always good, and he's a guy who takes the market looks good. He's which market does look good. How do you? I don't know. If I knew how to draw, Frank, I'm so bad at it. If I drew a stick man, it'd be a big fatso. I mean, it's that bad. but how, if I could do a caricature of on one hand we've got. How many thousand layoffs are threatened for today on one side of the political cartoon?
30,000.
Well, no, that's not counting the 3,500 at Allstate. It's not counting the 28,000 at Disney 2 days ago. I mean, the number is huge this week. Anyway, and then we've got the potential. We should have who are the three fates? Clotho, somebody, and somebody. If anybody knows their Greek mythology, AV. Do you know who the three fates were?
No,
they were even more powerful than the gods, right, Frank?
Yes.
The one of them what? One of them turned the spool of life. The other one pulled it out, and the other one cut it. And then you were toast. Wasn't that
they were Clotho, Lachesis, and Atropos. So the spinner, the allotter, and the inflexible.
I mean, she was the cutter, basically, right? The inflexible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. At some point, the printing press versus the people getting laid off, they can't be in the same cartoon, Frank. I mean, how much further can we get away with? And like I was mentioning earlier, I didn't finish my story. Someplace, somewhere, somebody's got to tell the scientists if you don't open till February, you might as well put all the boats like they did to the German ships in World War One. Where they put them? What's the place up in where they in something marsh or the anyway some big body of water up in Britain where they just took all the German boats and pulled the plugs out of the bottom of them? You might as well do that with all these boats. Doesn't anybody get how fast these people are draining, Frank?
Yeah, I think so. But are all decisions supposed to be made based upon money? You're once again proving that there's no ethical component to capitalism.
Let's put it this way. I think you could easily have 10 cruises this year where you required everybody on the cruise, if you wanted to have an antibody test that you already had the disease.
Or would you say 50% capacity or 40%
whatever,
capacity?
Whatever it is. I mean, if everybody already had it, I'm saying at some point you're going to have to let people make their own decisions. This bar is wide open. This bar is 10 feet apart. This restaurant's two people in the place. By the way, your dinner's a little expensive. This one, it's butthole to elbow. I mean, at some point, the people, I mean, you got to be able to make your own call here.
Well, it's sort of like not wearing a motorcycle helmet. I truly believe that people that don't wear motorcycles or helmets that suffer head injuries in a motorcycle accident, we shouldn't cover their, nor should insurance cover their medical care.
They're donor cycles.
You and I are paying for it.
They're donor cycles, and most of them don't survive, so you have to worry about it.
Right. But you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars.
No, you don't.
And you squander resources. No, we do. Most of them don't die.
Most of them
die. It's amazing how many are kept in a vegetative state for a week, if not months.
I think most of them die, and most of them don't get me started on the transfer organ scam. But anyway.
Oh well, you know, I know it's a scam.
I don't know if most of the listeners know that it's. It's illegal for somebody to pay for a organ, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yet, one of my friends from Mesro, go nameless, paid for some kind of transplant for his daughter. And by the time somebody took the... So you're right, somebody dies in an automobile accident or a motorcycle, which is really... John's dad, who just passed, the liver transplant surgeon, always referred to them as donor cycles, which I think is probably accurate, frankly. Where else do you get, you know, I'm sure there's a few other places, but that's pretty much where you get it. And I think the tab was $150,000 to $200,000. This guy had paid his own pocket. So the person who takes it out to transport the people, anyway, to get it to you is some massive amounts of money. So don't you think that if the number you're paying for this, say, liver or heart or whatever it is well into the six figures, you can't throw the family of the deceased a bone of like 5 or 10? That's illegal. That's a law too, Frank. I mean, it's a... Is that
well, yeah, there's an executive order saying that pharmacy prices are going down, and I can guarantee you in the past year, and I take six different things, every single one's gone up. And I'm a senior citizen. Where is my cut? Is this the truth or a lie?
Let's just say that since Bush won, maybe not Bush won, but clearly Clinton. This is what you guys, now that I'm in the middle, Frank, I've decided the middle is the Green Party, where you just take money from everybody. If you're not the red or blue, you're green. I've heard every single... You tell me what the next campaign is going to be. It's going to be helping small business. They're the backbone of the country. And by the way, we got to do something about these prescription drug prices. Since Clinton's first campaign, that was the mantra. And every single loser who's done that since, there hasn't been. The prices have gone straight up. You can't tell when Democrat or Republican's been in there. And I'm going to say the middle class has dropped precipitously in a linear fashion since then.
Well, that has something to do with the destruction of unions and organized labor.
True.
Maybe everything to do with it.
Well, we've got our organized labor. They're organized over in China. Somebody,
right.
Somebody, all the right-wingers, and I did not know this, but I do learn from both sides. In the middle, you can learn from both sides, Frank, that the interesting part, and Carl, of course, is all over this, because I was... The other day I was being accused by everybody of being a Trump supporter, right? Which, of course, I am not. But I was trying to make head nor tail out of...
You do mouth some of the RNC talking points, but that's only because you listen to Kevin so much.
No, it's because... God, he's already tweeting wherever he is.
Oh, I know. I'm pulling him by the short hairs. You know that.
But what I try and... educate on a little bit is that this thing about Trump's taxes and these quote advantages he's taking, they're there for everybody who's been in his real estate game for the last 100 years has managed to sneak this crap through Congress. It's the only place where you can I mean, I couldn't, what there's if, somehow or another, if I put my money in General Motors stock and lost $1 million, if I put you know, 750 hours work into General Motors, if they, I couldn't deduct that $1 million as ordinary income like you can in real estate. I mean, it's absurd. And what I was doing is putting the thing through. And I did, one of my guys, I had an adult beverage with the other night, he's an architect, knows some of this, was telling me about the look back rule. I mean, it's way too, I mean, Frank, if you could really do me a favor, find me a real estate tax attorney, because I'd love to have one on. So of course the right wing guys, and they're accurate, I think, they come at me with the 2 year look back came on in the first year of the Obama administration. Essentially jammed through by my not favorite person, Nancy Pelosi. And, turns out her old man is, or her husband is in the same business. So she's, if anybody gave Trump the $72 million check, it's her. It is so scary how this works out. And I, you know.
And I think some of it was done. I'm not defending anybody here. In order to, as part of this post-2008 stimulus, hey, we got to get building going because, you know, home building is such a big deal, and the rest of real estate.
Frank, it didn't extend through to you, to where if you and I lose $1 million in whatever Tesla this year because the thing goes down by 50%, we still get to deduct $3,000. We don't get a look back. As they give everybody else these favors, nobody that owns stocks ever gets a favor. To some numbers, the same as in 1980 when I started. Right? It's been $3,000 in our investment lifetime, which is what you could deduct on a stock loss against ordinary income, correct?
Correct.
Well, meanwhile, Trump and Pelosi's hubby, how can I do this politically correctly if I was dictating?
Well, you can't, because my response would be politically incorrect.
Well, if I was going to be an emperor for a day and redo the Constitution.
It's definitely white man's advantage. Everybody goes crazy when you say privilege. But it certainly, if it didn't trickle down to me, it's not trickling down to the people that have, you know, $1,000 in savings.
Right. And what I guess what I'm saying, is there any way I could, in this politically enlightened world of, you know, let's put it this way, when the women didn't have the right to vote, which of course I think was probably a bad idea, it also was a different world, Frank. I mean, what do you figure in those days? 90% of the people were married? So it's,
I have no idea.
But I mean, essentially it was one family.
Well, the oldest son in every Catholic family was a priest, and the oldest daughter was a nun.
Well,
and
what I'm
beyond
saying,
that, I don't know what.
Well, what I'm saying is it was essentially one family, one vote. You didn't, it was a male-dominated society. I'm not saying that was good, but the thought of some guy walking into the polling booth and voting for Trump and the wife voting for Biden, that wouldn't have flown too well in 1790. Let's put it that way. I'm not so sure it flies well here on either side, but it certainly didn't back then. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I don't know how you do it, but the last thing I want is somebody, male or female, in Congress with their husband or wife. All these government jobs they're getting, I think that sucks so bad I couldn't spit it out.
Oh, wait, and look at these different people that are in Congress or in the administration whose spouse works elsewhere in the administration.
That I can almost deal with. I don't want the lady senator husband being the head of the NASDAQ. I don't want.
So you'd rather just have, well, right, I know what you mean. But you have people, it costs so much to run as a congressman or a senator that it doesn't matter if you're married to them or not, they're still giving you piles of money.
That's what
makes the decision, whether the money flows directly or indirectly.
Well, the indirectly, at least people, my first question is, how the hell do these people make this money? The answer is, it's their wife or husband that's making it. Well, that's not, in my mind, that doesn't go so hot. How do we do with Phil Graham's wife working for Enron? How did that work out for the country? I'm saying not so hot. All right, Frank, what are we doing here? If we've been 3 days now in this rally, yesterday was pretty wobbly. Anytime there was a hint of a non-deal, we dropped 30 points in the spoos in like 2 seconds and then bounced right back up. But somebody must have said, oh, no, we're still talking. Well, we're still at that stage today. How far can this take us before they better do something or the market gets pissed and goes the other way?
Well, the deals, I assume the deal is going to happen because Trump can't afford it not to happen. He has to pay us off. You got to feel good, you know, and it has to be more than a $1,200 check. It better be, I'm guessing, $400 to $500 a week.
I don't.
And if it's not there, he's gone.
Well, it appears the $1,200 check. Well, our guys claim that only 7% of the people haven't made their mind, Frank. Anyway, all I've heard so far is the $1,200 check expanded to more people. I haven't heard
anything
more.
I'm still trying to track down my $1,200 check. I never got it.
Me too, by the way.
You didn't get yours either? I thought you did.
Mm-mm, no.
Are you trying to find it?
Well, I called them like a month ago. They told me there are like also another 5 million of people waiting.
Hey, all these people are working from home. No, I mean, the Department of Education is demanding teachers teach the kids. Is still working from home, and they're talking April 1st.
How can that be, Frank? How can it be?
It's a cabal of evil men
and women. And women, we got to add the women now.
Right, saying. I forgot about Ivanka. But no, I'm kidding.
But isn't the fallback position on the $1,200 that you take it off on your taxes if you don't get it?
This was they told me on the phone.
Yeah. I almost guarantee I'm going to get a statement saying I got it.
Hey, AV, remember we went and had a couple of cocktails after we cashed Frank's check that one day? Wah, wah, wah.
Well, as long as it was put to good use, I'm cool with that.
Did your wife get hers?
No.
So neither one of you got it?
No.
Well, they must listen to you on the show.
Obviously. I'm sure I'm on multiple blacklists.
Are the Cubs going to get more than 5 hits today? We got to go.
Yes.
I think the Sox win. Are they playing? They're playing today, right?
Yes, no. 1 o'clock. Both teams are playing at 1 o'clock. No, one on ESPN, and I believe the other is on ABC.
Now, did the Sox get the bat second today?
I have no idea.
I think they do.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, even though you're the other guys. No. The Sox would have to bat first. They're home. They're in their park. I think the other guys get to act like the home team today.
Well, the Sox, okay, they batted first yesterday, didn't they?
The Sox did?
I don't know. Now you have me confused.
Yeah,
because
one of the three games, you got to act like you're the other, you're either the visitor or the home, whatever you aren't. Anyway. All right, Frank, thank you very much.
You're going to have the TV on at home.
Oh, we have an
IMEI. I mean,
office.
At work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, watching the markets, Frank, watching the markets. We would never watch baseball, you know, just saying. All right, bud.
You can do both. Bye.
We can multitask. All right, SP Futures up 25, NASDAQ Futures 149. Frank, talk to you Monday morning. JV or AV, see you tomorrow.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.